Exodus chapter 13. I'm going to read here beginning in verse 17 in just a moment. But this is the story. Just a little background, just real quick, kind of work us through here. Joseph in the coat of many colors. Y'all remember Joseph? The next to the youngest brother. The favorite, right? Coat of many colors. Told his brothers his dream that they were all going to be bowing down to him. And they thought, well, that'll be the day. I'm sick and tired of hearing this know-it-all. I'm sick and tired of hearing this guy who's daddy's boy. And he's always rubbing it in our face. And so they decided to do away with it. And some of them wanted to kill him. And the other ones thought, no, well, hang on. That's a little extreme. Let's just put him in his hole till we decide what to do with him. Sold him into slavery. Long story short, he ends up in Egypt, a slave, in prison. And then he interprets a dream and tells the Pharaoh what's about to happen. 7 years of great abundance and then 7 years of famine right to follow it. So let's put a plan together so that we can make it through the famine and let's store it up. And so Pharaoh says, I like your plan. I like you. Let me just make you the second in command of all of Egypt. And sure enough, abundance came. They stored it all up. And then when the famine came, now the famine wasn't just in Egypt. It was everywhere. So when the famine came, people came to Egypt because they heard they had food there. And they did. And it was flourished. They did well. The Israelites came from Israel. They brought their families over and they came. They just settled. About 430 years later, they're still there. Only now, they've become slaves. The new king came up, the new Pharaoh. There were probably several in 430 years. That didn't know nothing of Joseph. See, Joseph was honored, and the Israelites that first came over, they were honored because they were Joseph's people, and Joseph's the one that saved them. So that's, man, he had a high standing. Well, wasn't long until Joseph was forgotten about after he was dead and buried, and that whole generation was gone. And the next one thought, you know what? These Jews, these Israelites, they're becoming quite numerous. Matter of fact, we got to do something because they're going to outnumber us and they're going to take us over. So let's just enslave them all. And that's what happened. Well, now, you know, there's another guy. His name is Moses. And he came along, and of course, he's an Israelite. In part of getting rid of all the, stopping the numbers, the Pharaoh said, all the Israelite newborn boys that are born, put them in the, kill them. Kill them. Let's do away with it. Let's tone their numbers down a little bit and decrease the opportunity to multiply. Okay? And Moses' mother, she put him in a little basket and sent him down the river in a little, like a little canoe basket thing, you know? No motor on it, no trolling motor, anything like that, just kind of set him up there. Well, Pharaoh's daughter found him, and they kind of took him in, felt sorry for him. So he grew up in the palace, an Israelite in the palace of the Pharaoh. And anyway, he starts to stand up for his people, kills an Egyptian, runs off, spends 40 years out and wandering, then runs into this weird site up on the hill, this bush that was burning, but it wasn't being burned up. And he went over there and said, I'm going to go see what this strange sight is. Went over there, and God spoke from the bush and said to Moses, take off your sandals from where you're standing on holy ground. God tells him his plan. I'm going to set my people free. You're going to go and tell Pharaoh, let my people go. And Moses said, whatever. Whether he had a speech impediment or stuttering problem or whatever, he said, I am slow of tongue, I think was the term they used. And God said, no, you're my man. You're my man. So he goes and tells Pharaoh, let my people go. God said, Pharaoh said, I am God. Who are you? And God brought some plagues and ended up with the plague of the firstborn, the Passover, where anybody that did not have the blood of the lamb over the doorpost, their firstborn was killed. Pharaoh's firstborn was killed, and he said, fine, get these people out of here. They're nothing but problems. Get them out of here. Y'all go. Not only that, they sent them with goods and gold and silver and everything. They said, just take whatever you want and just get out of here. You're nothing but trouble. Then he changed his mind. He said, all right, general, all y'all generals, let's go out and let's get those. Let's bring them back. We're just going to make it really, really, really hard on them now. So they're gone. They're out and they left Egypt. Now, what you need to know about Egypt is, if you're geographical at all, let me see if I can do this in reverse. Egypt is here. And there's this big sea up here called the Mediterranean Sea. Okay? And it curves around, and Israel is over here. The Promised Land is over here. Okay? So if you were going to go from here to here, and the sea was here, how would you go? North and east, right? Come on, some of you people that are... Am I right? North and east? Okay. So when they left and went southeast. It's this way. That seems to me like they're going farther away from the Promised Land. Does it seem like that to you? Okay, let's read the text. Exodus chapter 13, beginning in verse 17. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them on the road through Philistine country, though that way was shorter. For God said, if they face war, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people around by the desert road toward the Red Sea. The Israelites went up out of Egypt ready for battle. It says they went up ready for battle, but God knew they weren't ready for battle. Okay? Then in verse 19 it says, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him because Joseph had made the Israelites swear an oath. He said, God will surely come to your aid, and then you must carry my bones up with you from this place. After leaving Succoth, I could spend some time there, I won't. They camped at Etham on the edge of the desert. By the day, Lord went ahead of them with a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. Now, if we read on and on, we find that they ended up kind of at a dead end, it looked like. Okay? The cloud was leading them by the day. The pillar of fire was leading them by the night. They were following these pillars, and lo and behold, they come up to another sea, a big body of water. And they're there, and then they look around the pillar that's now moved behind them, and they see Pharaoh's army. Remember I told you, he said, let's go get them and get them back. Here they come. Chariots, all kinds of stuff. They're coming after them, chasing them down. So the situation is they've run into a dead end. They can't go back. They can't go forward. And it's Moses' fault. Right? Oh, come on. You know, the typical, stereotypical guys won't ask directions, and the wife is sitting over there saying, I told you so. Okay, well, it's kind of what happened here. They're up here, and they're telling Moses, we told you so. This is a bad idea. We should have just stayed back there. We had it better off back there in slavery. At least we'd have had graves to be buried in. Out here, we're just going to die and be buzzard food or something. I don't know. The direct route was northeast, but God led them southeast. He did it to avoid the Philistines. Remember, Philistines, if you recall, David, King David, fast forward a little ways. Y'all know who King David is, right? Second king of the nation of Israel. But before he was king, while Saul was still king, there was this dude. He was a big guy, big, huge guy. His name was Goliath. Y'all remember the story of David and Goliath? David, a little boy, a little shepherd boy, took 5 stones and a sling. He only needed 1 stone, but he took 5. I think there's a good message in that. Always be prepared. Amen. Took his sling, threw that rock at the giant, sunk him in the head. This giant was, he was like the king of the hill. He was the god of the king of the hill there. And David said, no, my God's bigger. Watch this. Okay. Well, they were fighting the Philistines there. Same people, Philistines. Okay, so God knew that they weren't ready for a fight and that they'd want to turn back. So he led them to a dead end with the Egyptian army hot on their tail instead. Isn't that cool? You ever felt like that? You ever felt like God was leading you somewhere and you're hopeful and you get there and you go, hold up, wait a minute. I don't like the spot I'm in. If only I would have chosen the other road. One could even argue that possibly God did this so that they had no chance to turn back. They were after to kill them, right? So lead them this way. They're running to war. God said no, they would want to return. Well, now that opportunity has been taken away from them. There is no turning back. What is it Martin Luther King Jr. said? We've gone too far to turn back now. Well, this was them. They've gone too far. They've done ticked off the wrong guy, and there's no returning. At least, even if they did, it wouldn't be like it was before. They wouldn't just be slaves. It'd be worse. So my question is it that God could split the Red Sea? Because that's what happened. If you read on, God divided the sea. They marched through on dry land. How many of you are familiar with swampy areas? Okay, out here, we're familiar. I have a swamp in my backyard. Just because the water goes away doesn't mean I can walk across there without sinking up to my knees in mud and muck, right? They walked across on dry land. That's not something. Is it that God could split the Red Sea and destroy the Egyptian army, but the Philistine army was just a little too much for him? Is that what happened? Did God say, okay, I got the Philistines here, I got the sea and the Egyptian army over here, this one's going to be easier for me to do. Is that what God said? Do you think that's what God was thinking? No. If God can split the Red Sea and destroy the Egyptian army in the same sea that they walked across on dry land in, God could have taken them the other way, the short, fast route, and done the same thing. So why? For some reason, God wanted it to happen this way. And we don't always understand why God wants things to happen certain ways, do we? Here's the deal, though. The people didn't even know about the Philistines and the danger that was lurking on the fast route. God knew. Moses knew, because Moses wrote it down, right? But the people, by and large, did not know. They were just following. And somebody probably thought, from what I understand, the promised land was northeast, and we appear to be going southeast. I wonder why. Are we going the right way? We're going the wrong way. But that's the way God led them. So you know what they did? They started complaining and grumbling. And Moses was thinking, oh, if I'd have only taken the other road at this point. He was like, oh my goodness. Are you serious? Bringing you out of slavery, watching God deliver us out of slavery, and come out, and now you're complaining and grumbling and mumbling. And listen, folks, they did this for a long time. How many times have we grumbled and complained when we have seen the Lord directing us in a direction that we don't understand? We're looking up and we say, okay, God, I know that where you told me we're going is there, but it seems to me that you're leading me this way, and it's counterproductive to go this way and around when I could just go that way. Why are you doing this? Has anybody ever thought that or questioned that? It's like, God, this is strange, God. I don't understand. And then when we get to the dead end, we shout, Lord, what in heaven were you thinking? You used to know this one guy, he had said, God, have you done lost your ever-loving mind? How many of you have ever questioned like that? Oh, come on, don't be all too holy and sanctified right now. You've ever thought, what are you thinking, God? What are you thinking? I mentioned this morning in our prayer group that meets at 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings, and if you're not a part of that, it's an open invitation. We have a time of prayer before anything really begins here on campus. It's a special, intimate, it's a fantastic. I would highly encourage you to come check that out sometime. But this morning, Rebecca brought up a passage that tells us to be thankful in all circumstances. And I told them this morning that I've always believed and even preached that when it says to be thankful in our circumstances, doesn't mean we have to be thankful for our circumstances. Okay? But I got to tell you, I think I'm changing my understanding of what that means. I no longer believe that we can be thankful in our circumstances, but we don't have to be thankful for our circumstances, and I'll tell you why. Most people believe that the good things in our lives comes from God and the bad things come from the devil. Okay? But the truth is that nothing comes into our lives that God does not allow. Okay? And if He allows it, there must be a reason or a purpose for it. Amen? So if the Lord needs to allow a bad situation to fall on me, should it not be that my greatest desire would be to not let that go to waste? Because how bad would that be if God allowed a bad situation into my life for a reason and a purpose, and I refuse to let that reason or purpose be accomplished? What a waste. What a waste. To have something negative happen and me to not get any good from it. The Red Sea was an opportunity to grow the Israelites' faith. A faith they would need on the road ahead. And sometimes we look at that situation and it looks bad. And that's where we focus. We focus on the bad. Oh, how am I going to get past this? How am I going to deal with this? We're in a tight spot. Between a rock and a hard place. And I don't see a way out. Lord, You led me here. I don't know what I'm going to do. We look at an impassable body of water and with an angry army closing in on us, and we know nothing of the destructive forces that lie ahead on that fast route. You see, sometimes we forget that even through some bad circumstances, some bad situations could also be God's protection, His protective hand on us, leading us here because the alternative, although it may have looked good, might have been quite dangerous for us. That's where faith comes in. You have to have a little faith for God to grow it into greater faith. Am I right? Now, I got good news. The good news is that God gives us that faith seed to begin with. You don't even have to go out and find your own faith to start off. God gives us faith. He placed it within us. All we have to do is to activate what little faith we may have and allow God to provide the growth. And I will tell you this, God is much more concerned about our growth and our relationship with Him than He is about our comfort. You see, our faith, our relationship with God is eternal. Your comfort or your discomfort is not. So if you're comfortable now, just hang on. There's going to be some times of discomfort. If you're in discomfort now, hang on, because there's going to be some times of comfort ahead. But your relationship with God will never decrease. It'll never go away. It'll never be forgotten. If you have a relationship with God, He says, come to Me. Come to Me. He's always drawing us in, wooing us to the side. He says, come, let's grow deeper. Let's go, because let's invest in this, because this is going to be forever. How long is forever? It's forever. I don't know how you describe forever, except that it's forever. Forever. It's a long time. So how much faith do you have today? That's my question. How much faith do you have today? Is it still a seed? Do you have that little faith the size of a mustard seed? God said, with the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. Right? Mustard seed is very, very minute. Even with that little faith, God will take that and grow it. Because you know what happens to the mustard plant? It grows into a big old. At least the strain that they were talking about here grows into a tree that birds can nest in and shade can be provided underneath it. Big thing. Whatever it is today, whatever your faith is, if it's a seed or if it's a blossoming plant, your faith in God, God wants it to grow for tomorrow. Whatever it is, wherever it is, God wants it to grow. Did you know that fertilizer stinks? Fertilizer stinks. Now, if you go back to the days before, you know, nitrogen and the mixtures they use that's ready mixed, you had natural fertilizer. Anybody familiar with natural fertilizer? When you go clean out the barn with a shovel and you put that stinks too. That stinks a little worse than the pellets that you spray out of a spreader in your yard. Fertilizer stinks, right? But it's good for the plants. How many of you know that fertilizer is good for the plants? And it stinks and it's good for the plants. Okay, we know that. We've established that. Sometimes our circumstances stink. But they provide the means to grow and mature us if we'll take advantage of them. May we be people who look around and look beyond where we are and see where God wants to take us. And may we determine within our hearts that if that's where God wants me to be, I'll go through whatever to get there because I know I'll be much better off there than here. And God says to you this morning, and never fear, because I'm not going to leave you. I'm not going to abandon you. I'm not going to make you just go through all this by yourself. I am with you. I'm like the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. And if you'll follow me, I will lead you through. And it's going to be to a good place. We'll take you through. Now, the truth is, at some point in time, should we live long enough, or should the Lord tarry His coming long enough, sometime that place is ending up with Him in heaven. Okay? And let me tell you something. There is a far better place than here. It's better. And I'm going there. You want to go with me? Not all at the same time. We're not that kind of church. We're not going to drink the Kool-Aid. We're not doing that, okay? But there is hope. And God says, I have a plan for you, and it's a good plan. Okay? I'm not leading you through all of this just to watch you so I can get some sick kick out of it. I'm leading you through this because it's going to end up in a better place. Will you follow me? Will you exercise what little faith you have and let me grow it into a greater faith so we can watch mountains move and seas split wide open? Will you follow me? Will you trust me? That's where God wants us to be. Anything we go through in the meantime, good and or bad, is only temporary. It's only temporary. I'm just a passing through. This world is not my home. Amen? That's good news to me. When I get, there's going to come a day when this old back doesn't hurt anymore. There's going to come a day when I won't ever need neck surgery again. There's going to come a day when I wake up in the morning and I just jump out of bed. How many of y'all remember those days? Been a long time ago. Now I wake up in the morning and go, oh. I used to say, good morning, Lord. Now I say, good Lord, it's morning. It's a struggle sometimes. But guess what? That struggle is going to be over at some point. And I'm going to be standing with my Lord face to face. And I'm going home and I want Him to look at me and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You followed me when it didn't make sense. You followed me when you couldn't see what was going on. You followed me even when you didn't know what I was leading you away from. And you trusted me. Well done. That's what I want to hear. Don't you want to hear that? We have to exercise our faith. Exercise our faith. Faith that God says, I promise you, I will never leave you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you orphans. I will be your father. God is good. We've sung about God's goodness. We've sung about our thankfulness to God for all He's provided. And guess what, folks? He has provided, provided, and provided. And the God who is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow will continue to provide. Sometimes He provides through ways that we don't understand. But will you trust Him still? Will you trust Him even then? Father, help us to grow our faith and our trust in You. Father, help us to trust You when we can't see it. Lord, if it could be proved and planned out and shown us on a map, Lord, there's no need for faith in that. Oh, Lord, help us to trust You. Help us to trust You when it may sound counterproductive. But we clearly hear Your voice saying, go this way. Lord, I thank You for Your guidance. And I pray, Lord, that it would be so visible as a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of cloud by night. Because the truth is, that same pillar of cloud by night moved around the Israelites at the Red Sea, and it gave them protection from the Egyptian army. The same one that leads us, protects us. Lord, that's You. Help us to love You. Help us to trust You. Help us to put our faith in You. Lord, they say it's not good to put all your eggs in one basket, but Lord, help me put all my eggs of faith in Your basket, because I know You've proven Yourself time and time and time again, and You will never fail me. Lord, lead us to that kind of faith. It's in Jesus Christ's strong and mighty and awesome name that I pray. Amen.